Hello and welcome to Marooned at Magpie's headquarters. A day. I've totally lost count. I think it's 132. Oh, no, it could be 133. It is, it's 133. As you can see, everything as normal here. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Paul. Kim's getting dinner. Hope we hear what it is, Kim. Good to have you with us. CQ, Deb, CQ. Let's have a look. Debbie, good to have you with us. And what's going on? Let me know what's going on. Hopefully you can hear me. That'd be a start. I'm asking for a reason that unfortunately I can't share at the moment. No, I've changed how we've done certain things and I'm concerned whether it's working or not. So, hopefully it is, and hopefully you can hear me, and hopefully you'll say hello. Oh, Sunday, day of rest. Or you'd think so, wouldn't you? I got to bed rather late, though. So how about you guys? United did indeed win. I have a very happy boy. A very happy boy. That meant they finished third in the league, which is pretty amazing given where they were at the beginning of the season. In fact, for United, I think the COVID thing actually helped because they had a bit of a break. They were only, let's have a look at the finish thing, because at one point they were fifth or sixth. It's important they finish in the top four for Europe. Mind you, the way it's going, I don't know if there'll be any games at all. City had a rather good win as well, but United won 2-0, so he was very, 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 very happy. Which, considering last week, when he wasn't happy at all. Right, have we got the final thing? We do. So there were a lot of points behind Liverpool. 99 points they had. City at 81 and United on 66, which was exactly the same as Chelsea. So it could have gone either way, but the goal difference was amazing. So when there's a draw in points, cutting in and out. Am I okay for everybody else? Let me know if I'm okay with everybody else. If I'm not, then it could be the changes I've made, in which case I'll go back to the old way of doing it. But if I am, then it's just Debbie. So let me know. So I think it could just be you, Debbie. Have you tried turning it off and on again? Sage advice from the computer experts. Anyway, who got relegated? Or is relegation not totally sorted out yet? It could be. Hang on. View the full table. Let's have a look. I think that's it today, isn't it? But I'm not sure. City won the last five games. That's shocking. But anyway, he's happy. Mum was happy they won as well. Is she a United fan, Jonathan? It is a miracle. Honestly, at the beginning of the season, they were in the bottom three. Villa managed to stay up. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Villa, to be honest. I've been to very few away grounds, and Villa is one of them. And it was shocking. Been to Wembley, been to Stoke, been to Oldham and Bury, I do believe. And Villa. Oh, and the City Ground in Nottingham. Nottingham Forest Ground. But Villa, no, it was shocking. The game was okay, but my abiding memory is of me thinking I'm not coming back here again. Oh, they are season ticket holders. Excellent, Jonathan. Excellent. Where do they sit? What stand? We're in the South Stand. South Stand lower. Right next to the bench where the management are. Dinner's going to be beans on toast. Do you know, I've been thinking about beans on toast for weeks and haven't partaken. But Mike was going to do his special again today. He suggested his steak and omelette, his mashup. But I quite fancied pasta. Jonathan, you don't know where they sit. Oh, you need to rectify this immediately, Jonathan. Explain to them that we're in the South Stand lower, right next to the bench. They'll know exactly where that is. I would imagine they're probably in either the North Stand or the South Stand. not seeing the other two stands. Good, I'm glad it's okay, Debbie. I have made a few changes, which I'll explain in a subsequent show. But it's all a bit... Actually looking at it, yeah, it could be better. That's not good. Not good. Not good at all. It'll do for today, but I think I might have to revert for tomorrow. I'll explain it all. I'm testing stuff. We were thinking of a behind-the-scenes series. What do you reckon? Of how we actually get things done here. When things actually happen and they happen correctly. Which at the moment, yeah, they're okay. They're okay, sort of. But I shouldn't be using all of this. We'll fix it. We will. So a behind-the-scenes was suggested. I think I suggested that to Mike. And we're still looking for a topic for next week. We've got the Devon Think thing. What do you guys fancy? Come on, let me know. Let me know. Must be something. Got Jonathan's presentation idea kicking around. But that would take a heck of a setup. But it is doable, Jonathan. How you can take a Zoom thing and make it better. It's just it would be a nightmare of a setup. But if you've got anything that you're particularly struggling with or thinking about at the moment, then do let me know. That would be good. Now you sit at the Sir Bobby Charlton stand. I'm not actually sure. Jonathan, I don't work by names like that. I'll find out. The Alex Ferguson stand is the north stand. I know that by looking at it. So it could well be that the south stand is the one that they call the Bobby Charlton stand now. Honestly, do they have to name these things this way? The Bobby Charlton stand. Old Trafford, let's have a look which one that is. It was K-stand in my day. All right, let's have a look. What I actually wanted is a map. Oh, apparently that's the south stand. Excellent. That's where we are. We're on that side as well. You get the best view over there. Paul always likes behind the scenes. Ah, excellent. We did a show a long time ago. But we were thinking of doing it in two ways. One, actually looking at what we do and then talking it through, which doesn't work great on video. Oh, I'm sensing a crossover series between Mac Bites the podcast and After Hours. That's a good idea. It'd be funny if you sat next to each other. Hey, it would. But we don't, because I'm at the end of a row. So when the seats first went in this stand, oh, there's a good story with this, you'll love it. When the seats first went in, because prior to 1991, it was standing. But because of the Hillsborough incident, which I'm sure you're all aware of, 96 football fans got crushed to death in a stand, they decided everything was going to be seating. So it took a couple of years, but in 1991, they decided they'd put seats in the stand. And I'm like, but I've always stood there. I want to sit near where I stood. And the thing was, everyone else was the same. Hello, Stuart. Hello, Tracy. Good to have you with us. So Elaine would know if she'd sat next to Mum. Oh, I wonder. No, I don't have anybody next to me. Mine was next to a wall. It's right next to the wall, next to the dugout. And then about 3 years later, two, 3 years later, they decided, safety and all that, they'd move these seats and put in a walkway. So my seat got moved probably about 4 foot. And there was this walkway in it. But it's that I still don't have anybody sat to my left. Mike sat to my right. So that's definitely not Mummy Isaacs. And next to him is a guy who sat there for almost as long as we have. So about 28 years. So I know definitely not that way. And I definitely know not front, not back. I'm thinking they've got one of the posh seats at the back. That's what I'm thinking. Mind you, they're all the same price. Ours are in the lower end. I haven't really got a picture of it there. But you pretty much see it quite a bit on the TV. There's actually a classic video. A classic video. I'll have to get Mike to have a look for it when he's finished with the news, which I'm assuming if Stuart's in, he has. Unless you didn't bother listening to the news, Stuart. We'll see. So, no, I don't think we do. But, you know, it could be that they're close enough that I've actually seen them.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yes, are you back, Tracy? Did they let you in? Oh, it's kicking off here. Over the, you can go to Spain, but now you need to quarantine when you come home. Why have people actually gone on holiday? This is the bit I don't get. You've listened all the way through as well. Oh, well done, Stuart. Clearly Mike's out with a dog then. She's in disgrace. Absolute disgrace. You know, when Stuart said she has people for that, she does. So Mike comes up with a fistful of treats, all wrapped up. They're to go in the box that lives in the office. So he opens a pack. I said, what are you opening them for? So he said, I'm going to give her one now. So I said, now there's two different sizes of Jumbones. This is significant. So these Jumbones, very significant size Jumbones. He opens them and I said, whoa, they're way bigger than the ones that I've already got in this box. So I takes one of them and I offers it to her. And she comes across and she looks at it and backs off and then looks at it again. Actually gets to the point that she's got her teeth wrapped around it and then decides no. And she backs away. So I thought, well, fair enough then, not hungry. So I gives it to Mike. And she passes across to him and takes it clean out of his hand. Oh, the little minx. So she's in big, big, big trouble. Oh, I'm glad you're back, Tracy. I had visions of you being stuck somewhere for weeks. That's good. Hello, Anthony. Good to have you with us. So we're looking for suggestions for a slot for Friday, if you have anything that you think about. And the poll's still open in the three affinity ones. One is still ahead. I am not saying which one. I've got another mail to go out, I think, tonight or possibly tomorrow morning. At which point I should have a clearer idea of which one you want. Stuart's in.
Oh, good.
So I knew you'd done. I've told them that Madam's in disgrace.
Why is she in disgrace?
For taking the treat off you and not me.
Yeah.
Showing favouritism here with parents.
Yeah, but she's not eating it.
Oh, in that case, she trusted me with it, but just didn't trust you with it. Decided she didn't want to eat it, but she'd take it from
She's left it out there and she's in the bedroom.
Oh, she likes the bedroom because there is an industrial-sized fan in the bedroom. So she lies on the bed. Oh, this morning I caught her upside down as well on the landing. She's so
The fan's
sweet.
Not on, but the window's open.
Oh, well, that's what she's up to then. She just likes it really cool. $79 one-way flights. I mean, really? I can't understand it. And the thing that's really, really annoying me, I'm trying to get over it, but it's annoying me. When all of this thing happened, because Mike said it just kind of snuck up on us, and I said, I remember thinking at Alverston, this is probably the last time we'll be away in a while. And that was the third week in February.
Yeah.
By the 6th of March, I'm like, right, batten down the hatches. Seriously, just 10 days later. But other people, after that date, were going on holiday. And then, you know, we all went into lockdown. And then thousands and thousands of people were petitioning the British government to bring them home. That they themselves couldn't get a flight or couldn't get shipping if they were coming that way. And I'm thinking, how much is this costing? Just a minute. Why is the British taxpayer paying for this? But fair enough, it was unseen, whatever, let's get them all home. So government pays out an absolute fortune, gets everybody back. And now, doubtless, it's the same Muppets who are insisting on going on holiday. Now, anywhere could be locked down. You could be stuck out there again. What do you want the government to do? Come and get you again? Oh, just leave them there. In fact, can we just put them all on an island somewhere and leave them there permanently? It's not safe yet. Didn't you say that about a caravan park?
Yeah.
That's going to be particularly problematic. Go on, tell the story.
There's a caravan park, something like 2 miles from where my brother lives. And there's been an outbreak of COVID amongst about 20 people.
But the thing is, you know, like, they do have to use the facilities locally, the same as everybody else.
And it's only a small village.
It's tiny, isn't it?
It's in the middle of nowhere. It's in Shropshire, for those in the UK. I was going to say something. Yeah, they've said that the locals don't need to worry as long as they stick to washing your hands and all that stuff.
Words just fail me, though. Debbie's saying they've got flights at $49. I mean, like, I'm with Paul. You're going to have to pay me in gold bars because I'm not going anywhere. Mike said something like, I can go around the corner and get one. Like, no. Whatever it is, we can do without. We have enough toilet paper. Oh, I'm not allowed to say snock. Is it sneaked? Whatever.
Snook. Where's that?
Right down the bottom, oh. Tracy. Good grief, been stuck in London since the start. Oh, wow. Co-worker went on a cruise just as they sent us to work at home. And about that time we heard about the cruise ship quarantine. This is what I mean. It's for so many reasons, it's not safe. You could get an outbreak where you are. You may not be able to get home. I mean, don't they put limits on credit cards and all kinds of trouble?
Yeah.
Didn't Carrie have that? A second home out in Greece. And she went out there and she told the bank and everything. And then the first time she used the credit card at the airport, that was it. They put a block on it. Anything could happen and you may have no access to anything. Why leave home just at the moment? They were all at an event in Wales. Now, I thought Wales had this thing licked, as did Scotland. I'm with Jonathan. Exactly. We should say, you know, if you choose to leave the country now, then you're on your own. Because we may not be as bad as we were in April, and we're probably not. But there are areas of the world, and the World Health Organization keeps saying it's getting worse and worse in specific countries. But you don't know, if you go to country A, and country A is relatively safe, you don't know if somebody from country B is also in country A. And you don't know who's met who and who's in whose bubble. So you just don't know. So now's not the wise idea for that. And I really don't see why we should pay to bring anybody back if it happens again.
I like this conversation between Kim and Paul.
Which is this one?
About what meal times are when. It's like breakfast, dinner, tea.
Yeah.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Mm-hmm. No, supper's about 10 o'clock at night.
Or 2 o'clock in the morning, if yes. You need. Yeah. Oh, that could be a first breakfast. When I was in hospital when I was 10 years old, they woke me up about 5:30. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm ill. That's why I'm in here. And it was, no, we've got to wake you up. This is your first breakfast. I thought, what do you mean, first breakfast?
How many did you get?
Exactly. So it's like, I'm there, first day. It was.
Hey, I could deal with this. More than one breakfast.
Oh, no, Mike. I look like a mummy, remember? That was when I was burnt and I was all bandaged up. And I'm like, first breakfast? So they brought it in. They didn't mention it was inedible. It was a grapefruit, a fresh grapefruit. No niceties about it. No honey, no sugar, no maple syrup. A grapefruit that looked like it had been hacked in half with a bread knife and put it down. And I thought, this is breakfast? So I just about nodded off. And they banged in the door again. This is second breakfast. I thought, oh, for crying out loud. You only really wanted one breakfast. The second one, I think, from memory, was marginally more edible. I think it was cornflakes. But one day they tried palming me off with Weetabix. Is that food?
Apparently so.
Because by the time they'd finished mixing it with, it was like, it could have been water. I know you're supposed to put it with milk, aren't you? But it looked like water. Well, when they'd finished, it looked like lumpy wallpaper paste. So I ended up not eating at all because either the first breakfast nor the second breakfast, which reminded me of Dan, third breakfast, it was edible. Yeah, not good. Not good. No, I'd just leave them where they are. I'm with Jonathan. Jonathan, you and I should run the country.
Breakfast 5 to 5:30, says Kim.
Oh, wow.
I have been known to have breakfast at 5:30, although usually 6:30 when I come back from walking the dog, or maybe 7. Then I'll have a mid-morning drink of hot chocolate, and then I have lunch about 12. Stuart, where are these players going?
I'm wondering that. A championship footballers went off on holiday on Thursday, Friday, and the season starts in 7 weeks. I didn't even think they were going to get 7 weeks off. I must admit,
Unless they're going to Spain for 2 weeks quarantine.
But why would you? It's not fair on the people in Spain where you may take something with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when you come back, you're basically on your honour to quarantine for 14 days. Mm. This isn't like New Zealand where they actually put you in a pen. Oh, would that we did that. Actually, there was something on Facebook. I can't remember who put it. But it was pictures of like world leaders. So there was Trump, there was Boris. There was that. Which country was the guy from that said he didn't believe in it and then the next minute he had it?
Brazil.
Right, him. And about four or five others. And then on the other side, there was other world leaders, and there was Angela Merkel. Is it Jacinta or Jacinda from New Zealand? She was on it. And basically it said, like, these countries have had the highest rate of COVID deaths. These countries, the lowest. And without exception, they were run by women. Just saying. And the New Zealand one, yep, you're in a pen. If you go back to New Zealand from somewhere else, you're in a pen for 2 weeks. Yes. Now, we're an island, so couldn't we use a non-operational ship at the moment? Like a cruise ship?
Yeah.
There must be some. And let's just peg them off the East End coast
or somewhere.
All
the Brexit rules.
Yeah, yeah. That would work really well for me. I'm looking at all the times of these breakfasts and it's shocking.
Yeah, 11s. My 11s is actually about between 10 and 11. Around about 10:30.
You have an early 11s.
Well, it depends if I'm training. If I'm training, obviously, I can't just say, excuse me whilst I go make a drink, can I?
I don't have breakfast. I don't tend to have breakfast. By the time I'm up and ready to eat, it's probably lunchtime. So I guess I don't have breakfast. I probably have lunch, dinner and a late supper, which is tantamount to breakfast, given the time I'm there.
Yeah, your day's upside down.
It is, actually, yeah. I don't know what they're going to do with these footballers. I mean, again, why do they need to go on holiday? They should stay there and get a bit fitter, to be honest. That's true, isn't it, Stuart? It is almost. We're about 3-4 weeks off it being a 12-month season.
Yeah.
Can't believe United finished third.
Mm.
Oh, it's pretty amazing given where they were.
Given where we were in December.
Yeah. Ah, so Tracy has a supper. Do you have a siesta when it's really, really warm, though? That's always been quite appealing. It's still warm here and I'm not liking it. But I actually prefer working at night when it's dark. I'm like a bat. Just, you know, like when it's light and there's noise outside. Mind you, having said that, what was it like last night during By Request with those cars?
Noisy.
I think they must have been using the main road. There is a main road. We're on the corner of a road. And so ours is really tiny. But the main road that's just to the right is straight for a mile. And you could tell the speed the cars were going. I think they were racing each other. But honestly, the noise. Luckily, it was when the songs were actually playing. But I definitely think they should have gone up to Partington. See Joe and Kath.
Hey, Stuart, you finished a respectable 17th, I see.
That is quite respectable.
I thought you were virtually relegated a fortnight ago.
Tracy's forgotten the 11s. Oh, no. Dinner's when you go out somewhere. Those were the days. You wish you'd put your rioters in a pen. It is. It's terrible. We've only seen tiny bits of that, Kim. And I did see something the other day. Now, what the heck was it? I don't think it was a film. It must have been a drama that I was watching. It could have been a true crime thing. But it actually said 6 years ago, and then it came up and it said Seattle. And it was like that, the beautiful vista that you see coming in from the sea. And there it was. Looked beautiful. But they weren't rioting at the time. I don't know why they don't do something with it. Imagine having said that, didn't they say over here there were too many that if there was a rave, they weren't going to stop it because they couldn't. And the other thing they're not going to enforce is the face mask that came in on Friday. Two of the supermarkets have said, well, if people wear them, they wear them, and if they don't, they don't. They could get sued by their own staff. If the policy of say, one branch of Tesco is don't challenge anybody without a mask, and then somebody gets ill at work, then why can't Tesco's be sued?
True.
Exactly. Got to be very careful with these things. Good grief, Altrincham won a game, did they? You are not a siesta person. Oh. I just have lovely visions of it getting quite hot and everybody having a bit of a snooze. Because a lot of people over here, have you noticed it in courses? You break a course up into four chunks. So there's about 9:30 till 11. Then there's a bit of a break. Then 11 till lunch. And then there's the afternoon session straight after lunch. Then another break, probably around 3-ish. And then the last session. And that number 3, people just sleep their way through it, don't they? It's impossible to keep people awake in session 3. So a siesta would be a good idea. How long do I think it would be to take me to transition to working during the day again? Could you do it? I'm just not a fan of working during the day. I'm not a morning person, as you all know. Shockingly, shockingly, not a morning person. Having said that, on the odd occasion when I have been up at silly o'clock, and I can remember these because they happen so infrequently. Like, as we would say in the UK, once every Preston Guild, which I think is about 90 years. I did get up really early, and it was when I was studying for an exam, the one I talked about a couple of weeks back, Law Society finals. And I was focusing on the accounts section because it was not a strong point, was the accounts. And Mum and Dad always got up really early for work, so they'd gone. And I thought, could nip back to bed for an hour. But I wasn't actually in any way sleepy. So I sat down and did a load of work. And I must admit, I kept looking at the clock thinking that it stopped. Time seems to go slower in the morning. So I did feel that I got a lot done. But there's just so much noise outside, so much distraction, so much going on. I just find it more peaceful at night. So how long would it take me? I'd probably just need to take like a day off, Jonathan, and sleep more. So instead of getting up when I would get up, just sleep through, and then I'd probably be fine. But even when I would say I was working days rather than actually nights, at the moment I am working nights. If I don't finish till 6 in the morning, I am working nights. But even when I wasn't, I'd still probably work till 2 o'clock. So I'd get up maybe 9:30, 10 o'clock, listen to Ken Bruce. That was my morning routine, but not sort of 7 o'clock. I'm not made for that. I don't think I've actually done that since probably going to college for my A-levels. Because even university, I could fudge that slightly. So no, I don't think I've ever... Oh, I did. I had a job, didn't I? Remember when I worked for that imbecile?
There's been so many.
Yeah, everyone I worked for was an idiot inquirer. No, there wasn't that many. There's only about 2 or 3. No, the last one. The last time I worked for somebody else.
Oh, he was an imbecile.
And I'd probably be up about 7 o'clock then. Yeah. But as soon as I finished, no, I then went back to my own timetable. It's just natural. Right. If I siestered when it was warm, I'd sleep all the time. Yeah, Paul, that wouldn't be a bad thing, would it? I could just work nights. That would work beautifully. So they're still scrapping. What are they scrapping over, Kim? What's their big beef? Is it the mask wearing or something else? Stuart, that's a damning indictment. Borough should have been relegated, but there were 3 worse teams. No, it's going to be your season, isn't it? It's going to be your season. Seattle looks beautiful when I see the videos, Kim. It looks really fresh and modern. But obviously we get a different tale from you. We get the truth. I can't understand the rioting myself at all. But certainly not. If there was rioting, you would expect it to be more like LA or New York, where there's more people with completely different ideas. I wouldn't expect it to be somewhere like Seattle.
There you go. There's a nice picture of Seattle.
Paul's concerned about the unmarked federal officers pulling people off the streets. Oh, good grief. Wow. 5-hour drive. Good grief. You could get from one end of the country to the other. Here, in 5 hours, approximately-ish. I'm going to bed when Jonathan's getting up. Pretty much Jonathan, yes. It's shocking. The rioting, I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. I mean, to be honest, the government doesn't do particularly much here, does it?
No.
Apart from, did they ever cover Winston Churchill's statue up again?
I have no idea.
Because they battened him up like he was in a little shed. They built a Winston shed for him. And then Macron came to visit from France and they took Winston out of his shed. But seeing as though they'd put him in the shed for a reason, I wonder if they'd rebuilt the shed. I mean, I don't think they would unless there was a danger. And once you can tell people that they can go on holiday, you know, then they don't seem to want to riot anymore. Funny that, isn't it?
You seen the news today?
No, I don't think I did.
Oh.
Do I want to see
Olivia
the news?
Olivia de Havilland has died.
Oh, wow.
She was 104.
I thought she was older than that.
And she was the last surviving star of Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. Oh, she was a lovely, lovely lady. Wow. She must have been very young in Gone with the Wind. Mind you, 104... So that'd be 1916. And Gone with the Wind was made in 1939. Oh, she'd have been 33. Hmm. She was great in that. That was my mum's favourite film. In fact, there's a comical story about that as well. She decided she was going to take me to see it for the first time ever. So she rings up this cinema. It might spoil the punchline if you actually know this cinema, but it was called Cine City. Do you know of Cine City?
No.
It was in... not Withenshaw. You know, what's that place called on the way to... When you go past that synagogue and you keep going and then you come to the pub and you turn right... and the way we had to go when they shut the motorway. I don't think it's Withenshaw. I don't think it's Withington either. But it's out that way. So she rings, she checks in the Manchester Evening News, you know, when it's on, finds it, rings them up and asks the price and does she have to book. Now, bearing in mind, this was probably the early to mid 80s, I would say. I think I was still at school. So she rings them up and she asks it, right. So she says... So they said, no, you don't need to book. So she said, right. And how much is it in the stalls and in the circle? And the girl on the other end of the phone went, the what? Mum said, the circle. And she went, it's not a circle, it's a square. Mum went, pardon. So the girl said, it's like a rectangle. And Mum said, never mind, fine. And she came off the phone. And the girl did say what the price was. So she comes off the phone and she said, she didn't know what the circle was. How ridiculous. Employing children like this. So we get to Cine City. And fair enough, on the outside, it looked like the one on the main road, the sale one.
Yeah.
We get inside. I understood what she meant then. You know these newfangled smaller cinemas? It was like a shoebox. Circle, I could understand there was no circle. The girl was quite right. So we get in there. There was precisely, now when I say it was small, yeah, but it would have still held like 100, 150. We get in there, starts Gone with the Wind. Three of us. Me, Mum and one bloke. And the attendant was coming in and out, watching bits of this film. But I did enjoy it. So I'm sitting there and watching the whole thing. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. So years later, it wasn't available on video at that point, but years later it came out on video. So I bought it for her. So she's sitting there in her absolute element watching this thing on a Betamax tape. That's important. So she's watching it and I'm bobbing in and out. And then I sit down to watch the end because there was this scene in it and it was my favourite scene. It's when, I don't think it's a spoiler for anybody. I think anybody who wants to see it would have seen it. But there's this bit where Mammy is in tears and she's talking to Rhett Butler. Right. And Rhett Butler tells her it's all right. And I just love that bit. It really got to me emotionally, that bit. So I'm watching this video cassette with Mum. And I'm thinking, oh, that bit's coming up now. It must be coming up now. It must be coming up now. It's when the kid dies. And then it goes to the funeral. And I'm like, just a minute. Where's that scene? So I thought I must have missed it. You know, I must have come in too late. So winds back the whole thing. Good evening, Paul. Enjoy your day. So I wind it back, I wind it forward, I wind it. Cannot find this bit. But I did realise that the tape was absolutely full to the end. Betamax tapes only ran for 3 hours 35 minutes. And the film was longer than that. I thought, darn it, they've cut it and they've cut that bit. So, fast forward a bit more. We get a VHS version of it. I thought, excellent. So I buys it for Mum. Watches it all the way through. That scene is still not there. And she's like, well, I don't know where it's gone. And I said, it's critical to the story. You know, and admitted, I guess it was a side issue to the main story. But the whole of the thing to me is one whole. And this scene was missing. Not happy. So time moves on again. It comes on the TV. I thought they're not going to cut it for the TV. It's about 9 hours with adverts. Watched it all again. Not on the TV version. Not to be outdone. The DVD box set came out. I thought, right, got to be on the DVD. Even if it was like an extra. Buys Mum the DVD. Not on there either. I thought, for crying out loud. About, it's 39, wasn't it? It'd be 40, 50, 60. 80. I think it was 9. It could have been either the 70th birthday of it or the 75th. A special director's version. I thought, right, I'll buy the box set. By this time, I think I bought about 9 versions of it. But this said it was completely full. I thought, right, sit down, you know, popcorn in hand. The scene still wasn't there. I'm wondering at this stage if I'd hallucinated this scene. But how could I? I'd only ever seen the thing once in the cinema with Mum. But I've never yet found this scene. And I did a bit of research online. And I can't find anything about it online either. But I swear to you, this scene was there. And one day, it will be restored to its former glory. And I'll get hold of it.
It's probably the director's cut version.
I just don't understand where it went. It was central to it. Basically, Mammy didn't want the child to get out of bed, so she told her there was like ghosts under the bed and the kid was scared of the dark, and Rhett Butler did not like the child being scared of anything. So, and of course she wouldn't have been scared of anything if Mammy hadn't have, you know, been winding her up to keep her in bed, and that was what she was confessing to Rhett Butler. It was critical to the entire story, I swear it was. I don't give up, no. I'm a lot poorer for it, but hey, I've got so many versions of Gone with the Wind. And every time there's something that comes on that's like, you know, behind the scenes of how they made Gone with the Wind, I'm there, just in case. She was my favourite character, Mammy.
It's not this one, is it?
She was fabulous. Move the microphone, I can't see it. No, that's when, that's Olivia de Havilland in the bed.
Oh.
No, that's when she's ill. She's dying at that point. And I think Brett's decided that Scarlett's coming round and she's putting the Scarlet dress on or something. I vaguely remember it, because she had the hots for the other fella, didn't she? Do you not remember, Mike? I think Mike's only ever seen it once.
I've never seen it in full.
You've never seen the whole lot?
No.
Oh, crying out loud, Mike. Right, catching up with the chat. Can't wait to see Paul's, the inside of Paul's house again. Ooh, having it built, and I'm hoping to see some network cable at some point. I bet everybody else is as well. Having the walls put in, and I do think conduit behind the walls for the network cables so important. Never mind niceties like water and electric. Get the network cables in first. Our sermon today was about friendship, and I thought of your requests last night, Mike. Oh, that's so sweet. We had such fun last night. We're kicking around ideas for another theme. I think we've got about five at the moment. And everyone you think of initially, you think, oh no, there won't be many for that. And then you start looking and there's hundreds. And I'm thinking, the one that's at the top of my mind at the moment, I'm thinking there'd be a lot of jazz songs for Frank to have a play with.
Yeah.
That was funny last night. Frank mentioned Monty Sunshine, which I think is still the best name ever for an artist, Monty Sunshine. But he totally missed the weather-related songs, and they're all worth double points. Genius. We didn't do a count-up, did we, of how many were sun and how many were rain?
I think rain won,
but that's typical of songs, isn't it? It's all been mellow and... Ooh, we could have got some country out of that. You know how country songs can be quite dour.
Yeah.
But I like the fast country songs myself. I did actually find a brilliant version last night while I was looking for something totally different of The Fields of Athenry. Now, you know I like the Bruce Shields version.
Mm.
This new version, very nice. Might have to play that. Now, what could the theme be to get me to play The Fields of Athenry?
Databases.
Oh, nicely done, Mike. Fields. I think that one would be a little bit on the thin side, though, don't you?
Given most of the Catanians, yeah. I'm sure Stuart could come up with a few.
Stuart always comes up with the
tech-related
ones. We could have a tech week, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm quite liking that idea. That'll set Stuart off. Off you go, Stuart.
Mac the Knife.
Oh, Mac the Knife. Jimmy Mac. Martin the Breeze and the Vandellas.
The Lion Sleeves Tonight.
Oh, nice. No, you mustn't give these away. We might decide to go for that. That would be a really good one. Kraftwerk, Computer Love. Good one. Databases could open it up to anything. That's true.
I've got one for databases.
Go on. Oh, dear. Is this dangerous?
Yeah.
Go on.
I second that emotion.
I might have to give you triple points for that, for ingenuity.
Well, it's emotion, so it is cheating a bit, really.
It's almost there, isn't it? No. There's a lot of emotion involved in tech. Don't forget this week. I'm thinking it's iMac week. Could prove fairly expensive. On the other hand, might decide, no, don't want it. Can't see that myself. But you never know. Because it's going to be the old silicon. It's not going to be the new silicon. Far too soon for that.
Didn't we have a title with silicon in it?
A title for what?
In the show, we had a show title called Silicon.
Well, why don't you go and look at the system? That's what it's there for, Mike.
So it is.
I have actually... Is Jonathan still with us? Oh no, he needs to take the rubbish down. Quick, while he's out.
Apple Silicon.
I actually had an idea for a MacBytes title. Don't mention it to Jonathan, he gets too giddy. Oh, now the next MacBytes, we were aiming for Debbie's birthday, which is way, way away in August. So that would be quite fast for us. Jonathan did point out that we did two shows in a year. I'm surprised we got two shows out in a year. It wasn't even your P year, we got five out that year. Oh, I think we got the two out in Stuart's year, so I can blame Stuart for that. There you go. It was all the events we went to, Stuart. Oh, we could come up with some great ones that are like sound-alikes, couldn't we? Sound-alikes would work well. I'm definitely thinking tech. That might throw the others. But have you noticed? Peter just does his own thing anyway.
He does.
He doesn't care what the theme is. Can he just put some T-Rex on? But he did miss out on Hot Love. So I played it for him anyway. That's amazing. That is actually a really good idea for a topic, that. Probably better than the ones that we'd already thought of. But no, I don't like to give up. And nobody's come up with a suggestion for this slot that I've got on Friday. Are you all teched out or something? Have you literally got no ideas before I pick something? What do you think I should do, Mike?
Something affinity-ish.
That doesn't particularly limit me, does it?
No.
No, but I thought there might be an affinity overkill because I'm going to do an affinity session. I've sort of penciled a date in. And that's why I've opened that book on which one they want to see first. So I didn't think I'd put affinity into my advice after hours in case it was too much. So maybe something else. Oh, Anthony thought of something and can't remember it. Oh, no.
Today is Tracy's Saints Day.
Oh, all having supper together. Oh, how lovely. Tracy's a pagan name. Does it matter? If you're with friends, enjoy it. And Anthony, you're quite right. You would think Ethernet throughout the house would be standard, but you wouldn't want it actually hard plumbing in because the standards are actually changing. When I first had network cabling, it was Cat 5 and I replaced it all in the end with Cat 6 and now Cat 7's out. Ah, middle name. I had to take a different name for my... neither of my names were saintly enough, apparently. So I took a different one. Now, you see, Elaine is French for Helen, so I could have gone for St. Helen. And Karen, no, apparently not. So I went for Therese. Just added it in, you know, as you do. I actually wanted to add that officially, but my mum went mad. Obviously, she picked the names we already had. And you know, my mother, you just followed whatever she said. It was easier. So today's Saint Anne. Excellent. Oh, Stuart, that could prove expensive with yours. I was in the food and drink one, Stuart. Why didn't you come up with, because you came up with everything else, why did you not come up with an Adam and the Ants track? Now, if you're wondering why, maybe Stuart can tell us why. Why would I think of food and drink to do with Adam Ant? And I've got photographic evidence of it as well, Stuart. You and Ellen, being brave as you are. Me, didn't touch it. Did not touch it. Whatever the excuse for a celebration, at least you are home to celebrate it. And hopefully everything is laid to rest here. Everything's done and dealt with. Because you wouldn't want to have to come back, would you? Aunt Gin. Exactly. Exactly. I'm saying Stuart missed an opportunity to play an Adam and the Ants one for the Aunt Gin.
Yeah, Aunt Gin.
Yeah. But, you know, there were so many for food and drink and the weather and transport. We'll probably at some point have another one. Transport too. Food and drink too. So you can get your Adam and the Ants going.
She's fast asleep in there.
She's crazy. That dog is crazy. Do you think she's going stir crazy? I mean, she's getting out. I think she likes to drive though. We're very lucky both of our dogs are good in the car.
Yeah.
That could have been very naughty, couldn't it? Because the first journey, long journey we took her on was when we went up to York.
Mm.
Where she met Stuart and Ellen.
She did.
Holding court outside, trying to upload that show.
You know, every night she flops outside under the window.
That's Maya's spot. That's why.
And then she wanders in when she hears me opening the can of dog food. So what I decided to do tonight was take the dog food can and the dog bowl into the hall and open it in the hall.
You're playing with her poor dog mind.
She still wandered in.
She just knows.
She's got very good hearing and a good sense of smell, obviously.
Oh, she has. She misses nothing. Nothing. So funny last night when she was talking. Because I've been trying to record her actually chunnering away with herself. And it's difficult because the fans are on. So I press record, but all you can hear is the fan noise. So hopefully in the winter. But she's talking more and more, isn't she? It's as though she's more comfortable.
Mm.
Maya never talked. He would grumble every now and then. But he didn't talk like we'd seen other Samoyeds talk. But boy, could he howl. Oh, and did frequently. And it was all to do with ambulances going past. And the first time he did it, I'm looking shocked to glory. Mum didn't turn a hair. And she went, that one's a goner. I said, pardon. And she said, oh, dogs always used to do that. So when, I mean, she wasn't a dog person, as you know. But she must have been married, so probably in her 20s. My gran had a dog. And she said, oh, yeah, I always used to do that with ambulances. She said, but not everyone. So keep your eye on him. Not everyone. She said, so we always said that, you know, the ones that hadn't made it or weren't going to make it, those were the ones they were kind of giving a send-off to.
The last rites.
The last rites, basically, from the dog. Do you know, she wasn't wrong. Honestly, he'd listen. He'd stand there and he'd put his... Did he put his head on one side in that video?
I think so, yeah.
Let's see if I can find the video.
Mayor's Howling Mad.
Mayor's Howling Mad. It was on YouTube. There you go. Mayor's Howling. And there he is, bless him. Now, 10 years ago, that's scary. Yeah, because I uploaded this straight from the phone. Oh, look, Mike, in those days, we only had 3 bins. Not the 5 we've got now. Oh, no. So tell a lie, there's 4. There's just one missing. He would literally put... Oh, look at your hair. It's very different now, isn't it? Let's see if he put his head on one side. I don't think he did before he started. And he'd have been what then? 9. So Mayor's 9 in this video. You'd need to listen with sound on, obviously. But it was basically me testing my iPhone 4. I think I'd got my iPhone 4 about 2 or 3 days before. And we were outside in the garden. He's got his stripy bowl.
Oh, it's his stripy bowl.
He only ever had water out of that stripy bowl in the garden. You see all the bins neatly lined up and his paddling pool stroke sandpit.
He saw dead people.
He did
see
dead
people. Could be a sequel to The Sixth Sense.
He would stand there and he'd put his head on one side, then on the other side, and then the other side, and he'd keep doing that. And then either he would howl fit to bust, as you will hear in this video, or he'd just flop down as though, no, they don't need it. Seriously, mad dog. It's less than 2 minutes, but that was classic Mayor. He's even got his little handle on. Because unlike Lola, who does come in when asked 99% of the time, 100% of the time, Mayor didn't. So he wore her little show handle. And as he careered past you, you'd grab hold of it and drag him in with it. But yeah, it's a short video of Mayor who doesn't like sirens disturbing his peace. No, he didn't. Not at all. So shut me up and then listen to that. So Tracy goes out for a meal. All the family and the neighbours. Oh, that sounds fantastic. Don't think everything's going to be sorted by the 7th of August. In fact, Boris said the middle of next year. Well, did he say next year? I think he might have done. He's an idiot. They're all idiots. But what can you do? So isn't May acute? We actually today heard, I think I've mentioned, there's a kennels near Rachel's, which is about half a mile away. And we had the window open, went to the side of the house, and all I could hear were these Siberian huskies all howling together. No idea what was going on. It wasn't even food time, was it? But they were getting very, very excited.
He's fast asleep.
She is. Can you imagine living near her, though? It was such a cacophony.
Here on this video.
Oh, yes, he nodded off again, didn't he, at the end? That's right. It's so cute. Oh, that sounds like a wonderful, wonderful celebration, Tracy. I hope you at least managed some of that this year. Although it doesn't look like it's going to be as big as it would have been. How was everything getting back home? You said like you thought they'd let you in, but you might not get out again. How close to you is all that? Because that's still on our news here. I don't know whether it's because there's not much going on here, but that's been on our news for 3 days now. 3 days, I think. Utterly ridiculous. But that's all we're being fed at the moment. You know what the news is like. Mind you, if they're not doing that, they're picking holes in somebody. Oh, I know what was on the front of all of our papers today. Of course. William and Harry and Kate and Meghan. All of that debacle. Just 4 of us. It's the 4 that count. And we're all with you in spirit, which makes the bar bill much cheaper. Now, Stuart has the most amazing beers. Delivered to you, I believe, at the moment. Excellent. But there's always weird and wonderful names. What was that one that Big Blue Wolf had?
No idea.
Oh, it was a weird name, and he was always saying it was the best beer he'd ever had. But a really, really weird name. But designer beers, probably. Probably designer beers. Oh, that thing in Shropshire's actually made it to the front page of the BBC now.
Mary's howling up key with her tits.
Oh, Kim, it might sound like her other boyfriend, her Siberian boyfriend. Stuart, he knew exactly, he what should we say, planned his energies well. He wouldn't expend energy if he didn't need it. Like, right, I've done that now, go back to sleep. That was him. It didn't giddy him to that degree, but it was quite scary. Particularly when they started sending ambulances for my dad. Like, oh God, please don't let him start howling. The weird thing was, the one time I thought he might, that was, we did talk about that at the time. Oh, ridiculous. By the time that my dad was ill, Maya was 12 and he'd had arthritis for 2 years. So he was quite slow and deliberate in his walking. He started to walk more like a huge bear rather than like a fast dog. It was quite lumbery and deliberate the way he walked. And this particular day, you know, we knew that Dad was going because the doctor had said, not the hospital where they should have kept him in, etc. No, they sent him home. But the doctor said, like, there's no coming back from this. It's just a matter of time now. So this particular day, I'd been up all night and working all day. Because I was trying to make sure that, one, Mum got some sleep. I mean, Dad was sleeping. He was on morphine. He was fine. He was the only one who was. You know, I wanted Mike to get some sleep, Mum to get some sleep, and Maya to get some sleep. So I'd been up all night. I'd given him his medication, and I thought, he really doesn't look well. And he kind of had a last conversation with me, telling me how much he loved me and how grateful he was that I was looking after him. Which wasn't Dad, was it?
No.
That was not my dad. So when he started with that, I thought, this could be it. So by the morning, Mike had gone off to work and Maya was lay next to him, just like he was in that video. Mum didn't know what day of the week it was. She was so tired. And I took one look and I thought, I think it's going to be today. But Maya sat there next to him and Dad's hand was like just on the edge of the bed. And after about 8:30 in the morning, we were waiting for carers at that point, probably about 8:30, he just got up, Maya. And the thing was, he wasn't getting up by himself at that point. He would let you know that he needed to get up, and then you would have to try and lift him, help him out. But this particular moment, he actually just stood up. And I thought, whoa, he's not done that himself for a good few weeks. And he looked at Dad, and he leant down and he licked his hand and then he walked off. And I'm looking at Dad and I'm looking at the dog and I thought, he's just said goodbye. And Dad was getting worse and worse by the second. And I said to Mum, you know, it's going to be today, so get yourself ready. And she was like, well, what do you mean? So I told her what had just happened with Maya and she was like, I think you're right. So when the carers arrived, they said, like, he's not really very well. I thought, no, we knew that. But, you know, it was you that sent him home from hospital, said he was absolutely fine, nothing to worry about. So we had to call. It was a farce. You do not want the details of that entire day. It went on and on. We ended up, was it 14 people stood on the stairs?
Can't remember. Something
we had
like
them
that.
All. We had the ambulance. We had the emergency car. We had the one that comes first on a bike. The Amazon man arrived, the district nurse arrived. I think the doctor arrived in the end, but by then it was far too late. So all of this cacophony is going on and Maya was in the kitchen, completely oblivious to it all, because as far as he was concerned, he'd already gone. So I think dogs do know. So when they arrived, they got Dad in the ambulance. I get Mum in the ambulance. They're sat outside at this point. Trying to stabilise him before they moved him. And Maya's then going mad in the kitchen. And I thought, if I let him into the front garden and he starts howling, that's going to be the end of it. So I thought, I'll just let him see and tell him that that's where Grandad is. It'll be fine. So the front door's wide open. The inside front door's wide open. I goes to open the kitchen door. Bear in mind, he's arthritic. He can barely walk and he has to be picked up at this stage. And he looks at the front door and, he, an open door, what would he have been like?
Mm.
He'd have been through it before you even thought about it. But he just gazed at it as though, in my youth. So I'm heading towards the front door and I sees this twinkle in his eye and I thought, oh no, he's not. And he literally ran. He like took three steps back and then ran full pelt towards the front door. But the thing with the front door is there's like some steps and I didn't even have time to scream, be careful, you know, with these steps. He gets to the edge and he took off like an Olympic athlete. And he cleared the step in the hall, the step in the porch, the front one, and landed in the garden, which was probably a leap of about 8 foot. Thing was, the landing was somewhat inelegant. Literally four paws spread. He looked like something out of a cartoon. So I dashes out to him and he's got himself up and he just walks round the garden and he's simpering to himself. So he didn't actually howl, thankfully. Having said that, Dad didn't actually go for another 4 hours. So maybe that was why. But Maya had already said his goodbyes. Oh, it was nerve-wracking with Maya, wasn't it? When we got a flip phone, a Motorola, wasn't it? It was the first phone we ever had that did video. Honestly, the video of it is shocking. It's the size of a postage stamp. And even then, you can't see anything. But Mike managed. I don't know what you thought you were doing taking him up there myself. It's like, where is the last place on God's earth you would take Maya? To the park opposite Gresty's funeral home. He gets there. He's watching. He's looking. And then an ambulance goes past. And he just stands on this grass and howls and howls and howls. So embarrassing when you're out, isn't it? People are like, what's this dog howling at? Oh, cutest dog. Very, very cute. You're stuck inside. So how's the UK? You're stuck inside the borders. So you wouldn't be welcome back again then for a fortnight. That's really bad, isn't it? I think the only people who should be travelling are those travelling for a good reason, like Tracy. But to just, we before you came in, Tracy, we were talking about people who are just randomly going on holiday. And we've made the point, and then when you randomly get stuck, do you randomly want the government to pay to bring you home? Why are you going? Why are you going? You know, if you've got a reason, leave it for the people who do have a valid reason, who need to be there for parents, for funerals, for births or something, but not just because you fancy a tan and an ice cream. You could do that in your garden. Because apparently it's going to be really, really hot at the end of the week. Ellen's wished it on me. There'll be tears before bedtime on Saturday, Stuart, if this continues. Particularly like that. 26 degrees. It's only 17 here now and I've still got a fan on. Dogs are amazing. They do. They are just amazing creatures. I wouldn't say Lola's as sensitive to ambulances going past at all. But then she's a girl. Maybe it's a boy thing. I don't know. You know, like letting the pack know. Could be. But she really does chun her away. In true girl fashion, she's got a lot to say for herself, hasn't she?
She has.
And I will get a recording of this when she starts. We are basically having a conversation. And then if I like go back at her, she just looks at me as though, you do realise that's gibberish, don't you? She's so cute. She does get tired in the evening, though, doesn't she?
Mm.
Quite. She was telling Mike it was time for a walk from about 3:30. You could come to the UK. You'd have to self-isolate for a fortnight. Can you imagine if it'd been like that beginning of July? I know that that's what I mean. And if less people were travelling, there would be less chance of that happening. And the people who really, really, really need to travel could travel easier and they wouldn't have all the worries with it. This is what I don't get. So you don't get a holiday for a year. And at least you're not working. You might be at home, but you know, you can make your own. Life is what you choose to make of it, wherever you choose to be. I don't think you need to be lounging on a beach to have a break. Plus the fact you've no idea what you'd come back with. But if you came from Spain, Tracy, wouldn't you have 14 days to quarantine here as well? Yeah, so self-quarantine for 14 days here, that would have been impossible for you, but I'm guessing you don't need to do that when you go home, unless the relation between the UK and Spain is now symbiotic, where you both need to isolate for 14 days. I don't know. But it's only, I won't say it's only a suggestion, it is what the government are saying. But like I say, they're not throwing you into a pen and keeping you there for a fortnight like they are in New Zealand. So it really is, you're on your honour to do it. Which is where this is all going to go wrong. 16 states with an R at 1 or below. Well, it's a start, isn't it? They're studiously not mentioning the death rate here, nor are they mentioning the R rate. You really have to go and search if you want that kind of information now. But the last time that I looked, the deaths had been 179 in a day and 138 in a day, which to me is still quite a lot. But the figures are now buried away at the bottom of the BBC homepage. But they are talking about this caravan park. That's made it to the homepage. And they're not making any apologies for the Spain travel rule change. I can't understand why people are getting giddy about it. You know, when it says like it's shambolic. Because they were criticised for not moving fast enough. There's one person here saying that they've arrived from Spain. And they found out 3 minutes after they landed that they needed to self-isolate. But that could change any time. And I think you have to bear that in mind when you're thinking about going somewhere else. Obviously, Tracy's situation, totally different. You should be given priority, as other people should, for really important things like that, but not just for a tan and an ice cream. You're never going to persuade me a tan and an ice cream is worth all of this mess. Oh, I must leave the news, Mike. It's so depressing. The stories that are on here that are like, you know, really? Does this really make it? And you know what you think news has been like current? There's one on here about what the Nazis planned to do in like 1943. The BBC have only just caught up with this. But apparently soft play is heading for a cliff edge. Really? I can't understand that, Tracy. I really can't. Especially with children. I think the last place you should be is a foreign country, because many people don't speak foreign languages, or if they do, you know, enough to order a beer, but not enough to liaise with a surgeon or a doctor who's giving you life critical information, and to take your children as well. And then you've got the insurance situations. Even if you are insured up to the hilt, you don't know what the medical services are that are available in foreign countries. And while they might be fantastic in the middle of Barcelona, you're not quite sure what they're like in the middle of a holiday resort miles and miles from anywhere. I would just look at that and think, not safe. I remember when we moved to High Lee, which is a hellhole, in the middle of nowhere. It's about 20 miles from here, 22 miles, something like that. But it's a real country place. The nearest shop was 2 miles, and that was a newsagent's. The nearest pub was 2 miles. So the nearest civilization was 2 miles, and I think it was about 5 miles to the nearest school. What concerned me was like, where's the nearest hospital? And what would you do if you needed an ambulance? It would take it at least an hour to get there. You could be dead by then. I mean, if it was a stroke or a heart attack or something, you literally could be dead by then. And my mum had already had 2 strokes when we moved there. And I was thinking, how ridiculous. You'd want to be, one, in the catchment area for a great hospital, and two, be able to get there fast enough that they could actually do something. And that's only 20 miles. Can you see now why I don't go anywhere? The NHS is fabulous. We have amazing hospitals within 2-3 miles. Let's just stay where we are. That's the best plan. Oh, your border with Canada is closed. Can't get through at all. Oh, wow. What have you got here, Mike?
It's about a St Bernard who had to be rescued after collapsing whilst walking down England's highest mountain.
What did they take the dog up the mountain for? Is he a rescue dog or something?
Yeah.
He was a rescue dog?
I think so.
Oh, look at him. Look at him on the stretcher, his sad face. Did he hurt himself?
Yeah, Daisy. Daisy was a rescue dog and extremely placid and compliant.
Yeah, but was she working for them?
I don't think so.
Oh, the poor dog. What happened to her? Oh, pain in her legs.
Yeah.
Oh, St. Bernards are big dogs. That's good of them to rescue it, because they're volunteers, aren't they?
Mm.
Look at the dogs. Imagine they probably want to rescue a dog more than some humans. Do you remember those humans that went out? I think it was January and they went up some mountain in Scotland with nothing but a cardigan. Utterly ridiculous. They had to send out rescue squads for them. Ridiculous. Oh, what can you say? Good night, Tracy. We're going to head off ourselves too. Oh, end of another week. But next week, iMac week, as I'm calling it. If this time next week there has not been a new iMac, I'm going to be very, very annoyed. And I will let Apple know of my displeasure. My thinking is it's the earnings call on Thursday. Let me know in the chat if you religiously listen to the earnings calls. They're a bit samey, aren't they, Mike?
We've had the best quarter ever.
Service revenues are up. That's about it, isn't it? But it takes them like an hour to do that. But it's Thursday. So if they'd have announced the IMAX any earlier, people would have asked questions about how they were selling. But if they only announce them on Tuesday, they can legitimately say, we're not taking questions about anything that happened less than 48 hours ago. I know, Apple. They're devious. So that's my thinking on it. Hence, Tuesday, I will be glued to the feeds on Tuesday. Might actually make a special effort to go to bed a little bit earlier, to get up a little bit earlier, so I can keep my eye on it from earlier in the day. Might do. You never know. But for this week, it's the end of another week. What week number are we up to? Is it 20 or 21? I've totally lost count.
133 divided by 7. 19.
So the end of week 19. Heading into week 20. What am I hoping for in the way of an iMac? Well, I'd much rather that they brought out whatever new design they're bringing out, just so we know what it looks like, and that they put Apple Silicon in it. But I think it's too soon. So one of two things. Either the last Intel iMac, and it looks exactly the same as the iMacs currently look, but is faster. That would be a benefit for me because my iMac's 3 years old now and it's out of warranty. So if it breaks today, I am without a paddle. Or, as everyone's saying, there's a new design, but the new design might have the original Intel chip in it. But I would still have to seriously contemplate it. Because if there is a new iMac and it is the old Intel chip, then we're possibly looking at a wait of 18 months to 2 years before we see the Apple Silicon one. And I don't think this Mac of mine will make 2 years. So that's my thinking. So I'll see whatever they bring out. What would I like? Oh, much cheaper, much bigger, like a 32-inch. If you're asking about perfection, something that could take like 512 gig of RAM. Something that was about 32 inches and really, really nice. A nice design, but I'm not 100% sold on the kind of industrial look. So I'd rather it stayed as it looks now than the industrial look. But more RAM, way, 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 way faster processor. That would do me. That would actually do me. And if they could keep the price the same or less, that would be good. But I'm not seeing that happen. I think the maximum it would have is 128 gig of RAM. Really, you know, come on. They could put 256 in. But I fear it may stay the same. And one of two things will then happen, Kim. I will either talk myself into it or out of it, depending. And it could go either way at the moment. It really depends on what they bring out. Other than that, I'm open to suggestions from Apple. There you go. But for the moment, it is good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.